So Dogs of Cuba, the Buddha of the Vedado. Vedado is an area in Havana. For 7 years in prison every day, he had a chair to himself. He had a chair and a desk and even a private room in which to kick his heels up on the desk. Usniel had a friend on the outside falsify a certificate saying he'd been a geography and history teacher, so he got to teach classes 4 times a week, which was hard for him, being a high school dropout, but he had no trouble getting students to come to classes. People always liked him. That was the problem. He was ready for anyone. He had that street intelligence that makes everyone believe. Getting to move around and have private space meant everything to him in prison. When he wanted something, he was diligent, at least half of why I'd fallen in love. We met as scraggly kids in our neighborhood with its sidewalks torn by roots, the one where state employees work 8 hours a day with a machete to cut snatches of grass, so tourists at the fancy hotels facing the Seawall Boulevard don't feel they left too much home behind. And even if all the necklace men from Italy or Switzerland might trip a little as they totter out of the hotel, their recompense is they get to lean on their mulatas' shoulders, every curve a sign of capital to come or capital spent. It's not hard to fall in love in Cuba, but it's equally easy to fall out of it, like that round robin salsa only the best male dancers do, where they twirl their girls all with that bored face of the best salseros, the girls endlessly switching partners. The dance really about the men's expertise, though the girls' compliance masks greater skill. This may be why we have one of the world's highest divorce rates, and may also have to do with the circulation necessary to any island's inner flow, the one that makes us depend on those foreign necklace wonders, their vacation neutral shirts tenting over their tummies, the better to eye those disco girls. I did not meet my local boy at a disco, but instead outside school, where those without mothers demanding them home by a certain time could hang out on a crumbly plaster wall, where we sat drinking, stealing time by pretending to be adults. Usniel teased me like a brother whenever I wore eyeliner I'd swipe from my older sister, but I teased him for wearing the hems of the boy's uniform, beige slacks so high because he'd always been too lanky. But despite or because of the teasing, the two of us always knew where the other one was in a hall or auditorium or field. We practically had radars, knowing what the other thought or wanted, even if we pretended we were just part of the group. So no one was shocked when right before he dropped out, we hooked up. His mother went crazy 3 years later, stayed at the psychiatric hospital Fidel said brought disgrace to Cuba. It turned out the new director had let all the employees swipe sheets, medicines, food, till it took some busybody American agency sweeping to discover so many crazies dying of starvation, cold, all this happening at the shameful mid-century of our revolution that had never stopped. Usniel was less ashamed of his crazy mom than Fidel was ashamed of the asylum, but no one held having a crazy mother against him, because my boy was like the humble mayor of our zone, someone who always figured out how to help the lowest of the low. I'm going to skip ahead. Naturally, any boy raised like this would go wild. Usniel used to come to school back when he was 14, his hair in little braids tied to his skull, drinking watered-down rum out of a silver flask with its Che face wearing off on it from exposure to cheap aguardiente. It's kind of rot-gut liquor that people make out of sugar. Back then, Usniel was pure edge, not the saint he became. It was hard not to be drawn to him. I was popular, got him, and for this I ascended in status in our neighborhood. "Never give me advice," he told me. "That's one thing. I listen to my own master. I can't have anyone above me." So when he decided to quit school and imitate Juan Carlos, the guy in his tipped fisherman's hat, the one we'd seen living it up down the avenue, the one we whispered was selling drugs to the foreigners, of course, I couldn't keep myself from telling him he was headed down the wrong path. "Come on, Yannette. You were supposed to be different," he said. We were Generation Y. Everyone had Y names. Even though at first Usniel's mother had wanted to call him Lázaro because his birth had been so difficult. Difficult as opposed to what, I wonder. He was born like we all were, yanked out by doctor's forceps a few years before the special period when the Soviets pulled their support. Suddenly our whole island had no forceps, no clothes, soap, or goods, only rice and beans and endless sugar. In a way, Usniel did what was smart. He didn't want to go the way of teachers now diving into dumpsters to find something usable, or doctors sewing kids' shoes on the street. He saw Juan Carlos was up to something. That something was what Usniel wanted. As I mentioned, he was never anything but enterprising. To stay in the system as it wanted him to stay, hoped to be some clerk making $25 a month, figuring out how to survive by odd jobs on the side, you'd have to be dumb. So Usnail did what any thinking man would do. At night, he started smelling bags at first to tourists in the hotels whose mulattas needed a little extra in order to get it on. Just some marijuana and cocaine, and this despite the daily reflections of Fidel in the party paper about the evils of other countries, how we in Cuba were pure and above drugs. This when about half the men you meet on any day before 10 in the morning have that little sting of rum on the breath. This despite the way we're allowed to sip coffee mindlessly all day to not fall down the pit I started to know the day Usnail was caught. You have to admire Fidel. He'd caught wind of the drugs rampant on the island and organized a sting between 4 and 5 on the morning 1 January that got thousands of dealers thrown into jail. Usnail at first was caged up with just dealers, but then, because of overcrowding, they moved him after 6 months into the prison for rapists, murderers. That first morning, he hit on the plan, becoming a history and geography teacher. My goal is to get out, he told me right after we got married. Part of our plan to get us conjugal visits, privacy. I'd come to him wearing the patterned stockings only nurses and shop girls get to wear in Cuba, and he'd be so happy to see me, his narrow face lit into being more like a big happy dog who wanted to jump all over, even before the guard left us alone to our privacy. He gets out. That period, things were looking up for me and Usnia. With some financial lubrication, we got ourselves a place not far from his brother, not far from our old-time crumbly wall. And because Fidel just lifted restrictions on small business, or rather his brother Raul had pushed Fidel, we were getting a break, opened up a little snack shop, hired some of Usnail's ex-cons to work it, right near the hotel where his sister had bagged her man, just a place for people to get coffee and pan con tortilla or croqueta or whatever they like. And we were getting the hang, bribing the health inspector and electricity inspector. The whole thing was starting to take off. Which is, of course, the way things go, right? The point when you finally relax. Things always start spilling over. In our building lived the daughter of a friend of Usnail's from back in high school. And because Usnail had always been kind of a mayor wherever he was, answering this one's debt, picking up the cell to go fix another one's water issue, always calmly meeting everyone's need, which was probably how he'd survived prison without getting raped. No one laid a finger on me, I promise, he told me. I made a ring of friends to protect one another's culos. Because he was basically the mayor of our corner of the Vedado. This girl had conceived some mad attraction for him, thrown herself at his feet when her own father died. Now she wanted Usnail with a passion. She wasn't even 17, just a light-skinned, simpering fool of a girl with a bit lower lip, a way of ducking her chin when she looked at him. And of course, anyone other than me might have suspected things, but she just seemed too insubstantial, except for her navel ring and that smooth, flat belly. Would you rather get a pricker in your heart or your heel? I saw she had texted him one day, the first sign to make me suspicious. Why is Lucia texting you about prickers, I said. Some kind of word game she likes to play, he said, holding my gaze in that straightforward way that passed him from jail to parole board to clean man. Enough to make your average snoopy neighborhood vigilante for the defense of the revolution believe. And the story goes on, but you can read the fall issue.